Good morning, and I would like to extend a very warm welcome to everybody who has come to our socially distanced service this morning, and for everybody who is joining us at home or in front of their laptop or their iPad or their television screen at home via YouTube. Hammond Road Baptist is great to be here together as a church, and I just want to bring up the subject of death this morning. So we'll all be really excited about that, I'm sure. But as we think about death, as Christians think about death, and as the world thinks about death, is there an answer? The Heidelberg Catechism asks this very question. It says, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the first sentence is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, in 1 Peter, verse 3, this is the opinion of the Apostle Peter. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This morning, as Christians, we have a hope even in the face of death. And as we go through our service this morning, we're going to be reflecting on that and seeing that Christ has the power even over death itself. And so we're going to sing now and praise God, and we're going to sing How Great Thou Art, or at least I'm going to sing, and those people at home can join in with us, and everyone here will be humming and making melody in their hearts.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, and I see the stars, and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is Son, not sparing, sent him to can't take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. 'Cause then sings my soul, my Savior God, to how great thou art, how shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then shall I bow in humble soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Amen. How great is the God that we serve. And so I want to just highlight some announcements for you this morning. And so Johnny, Pastor Jonathan McLaughlin, is having a well-earned break. So please pray for him and the family. And if you need to contact the church, obviously Keith, the elders, and the church office are still contactable. So he will not be continuing on with the 7 o'clock YouTube teaching sessions on the Beatitudes. So instead, we're going to have lessons in lockdown. And so that's going to be brought to us by none other than Mervyn Scott from Baptist Missions. A lot of us know and love Mervyn. Also, Gail Curry from Baptist Women. Davy Ellison representing the Irish Baptist College. And then Matthew Campbell, who's in charge of Baptist Youth. So they're going to be giving testimony and lessons of what they have learned during this lockdown period. So 7 p.m., and that will be available if you're using Facebook, YouTube. You'll be able to find the links there in Church Suite and possibly one of Keith's WhatsApp messages. If you're in that group, you should be able to pick up a link somewhere. So you've no excuse, 7 p.m. On Wednesday night, our prayer meeting, we're going to be focusing on Passage West and the Cork church plant there, and the work of what God's doing down in Cork. And so Shane Dean's going to be joining us. He's known to many of us here. I've been down myself in Passage West, and what he's doing there is great. So we want to pray for him and hear how things have been progressing, even during this time with COVID-19. And I think that is actually all of the announcements you'll be glad to hear. And I just want to announce now that Jackie McGarry, she is going to come and she's going to give a reading, and then we're going to have our recorded in, as is tradition now, the kids' video by Aaron Atchison.
Good morning, everyone. The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 to 16. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is still with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm so excited to share another amazing story from the Bible with you. But first, I thought we'd play a little game, just to make sure our brains are all switched on and we're all wide awake. So adults, to make sure you're awake, you can play along too. So boys and girls at home, if you want to jump up and find a space just where you are, and for boys and girls in church, you can play along just sitting in your seats or standing just in front of your chair. The game is super simple. I'm going to give out a clue, and all you have to do is you have to find something that matches the clue that I give and touch it. It's as easy as that. So for boys and girls at home, you can move about anywhere you want, but for boys and girls in church, it's going to be a little bit trickier because you're not going to be able to move, so you're going to have to think extra carefully about the clues that I give. I'm going to give everyone 5 seconds. So we're going to start off with our first clue. So best of luck. Our first clue is, I want everyone to find and touch something that is blue. So have a little look around. Is there anything you're wearing that's blue? Anything around you that you can touch that's blue? And freeze. Ooh, well done. Excellent. If you're in church and you were standing up, you were probably the winner. Because if you look down, what color is the carpet? Exactly, it's blue, so well done. Okay, our second clue. I want everyone to find and touch something that has legs. Oh, have a little look around. Is there anything close to you that has legs? Maybe something you're sitting on, somebody around you, and freeze. Oh, well done. So there's lots of things you could have touched there, whether it was a teddy or a toy with legs, or a chair you were sitting on, or even your mum or dad or brother or sister who all have legs. So well done. Our third clue is, I want everyone to find and touch something that is shiny. So can you find anything that's shiny? Is there anything around you that's catching your eye that you can get to and touch? And freeze. Well done, that was a tricky one. So well done if you found the clue that I was describing there. And our fourth and final clue is, I want everyone to find and touch something with buttons. So can you find anything with buttons? Is there anything you're wearing with buttons? Maybe anything Dad's wearing today which has buttons, like a shirt, or maybe a phone or something like that. Can you get there? And freeze. Ooh, lots of different options again. So well done if you got there. Well, boys and girls, I hope you're not too tired mentally and physically from all that thinking and running about this morning. But I want everyone to now have a little think. Because you probably noticed nothing really special happened there when you touched all those different items. But in the story we're going to look at today in the Bible, something very, very special happens when Jesus touches people. In today's story, a man comes to Jesus and he begs him to come to his house. And he tells Jesus, "My daughter is very, very sick. Please come and touch her and she will be healed and she will live." So boys and girls, we're going to jump into our story and find out what happens when Jesus is on his way to this little girl's house.
One day, Jesus stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd gathered around him. An important man named Jairus, one of the leaders in the synagogue, came to Jesus and fell at his feet and begged for his help. "My daughter is very sick and is about to die. Please come and touch her so she will be healed and live." Jesus immediately began walking with Jairus towards his house, and many people followed, crowding around him. In the crowd was a woman who had been sick and bleeding for 12 years. She had seen many doctors and had spent all her money trying to get better, but no one could help her. She was getting worse. The woman said to herself, "If I touch even Jesus' clothes, I will be healed." She came up behind Jesus in the crowd and touched his clothes. Immediately, her sickness left her and she knew she was healed. At that moment, Jesus had felt that power had gone out of him. He turned around. "Who touched my clothes?" he asked. Jesus' disciples pointed out that many people were crowded around him. It could have been anyone, but Jesus kept looking around. The woman who knew she had been healed came forward and fell before Jesus. She told Jesus what had happened. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You are healed." Meanwhile, while Jesus was speaking, some men came from Jairus' house and said to Jairus, "Your daughter is dead. Do not bother Jesus anymore." Jairus was heartbroken, but Jesus heard what the men had said and he told Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Just believe." Jesus and three of his disciples went to Jairus' house. When they got there, there were people crying and wailing loudly. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked. "The child is not dead. She is sleeping." Everyone began to laugh because they did not believe him. He told them to leave. Jesus took Jairus and his wife into the room where the child was. He touched the girl and took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, get up." Immediately, the girl got up and began walking around. The people were amazed. The girl was no longer dead, but alive and not sick anymore.
What an incredible story. When the sick woman and Jairus were helpless and hopeless, Jesus was the answer. By healing the sick woman and raising the little girl from the dead, Jesus showed his power and control over sickness and even death. The amazing news is that Jesus came into this world and died on the cross, but rose again 3 days later from the dead so that we would be free from our sins and forgiven. When we are touched by Jesus and we trust in him, God forgives us of all the bad things or all the sin in our lives, and we begin to change and become more and more like Jesus each and every day. Even though Jesus isn't physically on earth with us anymore, he is still always here with us, so we can still always pray and ask that he brings healing to those who are sick. Whether God brings physical healing like we heard in our story today, we can always rest and know that he brings ultimate healing and gives us eternal life just from believing and trusting in his son Jesus. So boys and girls, just remember the amazing words of Jesus in that story. Don't be afraid, just believe. What an amazing God we have.
Amen. Thanks to Aaron and Jackie. Linda's going to come up and lead us in prayer. But just before she does, I want to highlight two things. Second of all, when Linda's finished, we're going to have a song put together by some of the older youth. And the song is going to be Death Was Arrested. And the second thing is, I forgot to announce this the first time, that obviously there will be no offering taken this morning in church, but there is a basket on the door on your way out if you want to have a retiring offering. There are also some really great socially distancing ways to give to God's work here in the church via church suite, or there's details online about gift aid and how you can do that. If you wanted to look at those, that would be great. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray to our Heavenly Father. Eternal Father, the one who has created all things, the beauty around us that we see, the beautiful walks that we've been able to have even this morning, the sunshine and the showers, thank you for the beautiful world that we live in. Thank you for the gift of life itself. Father, we thank you that each of us is able to meet here in person. And we pray for those who are at home, for those who are watching online. Father, in each of their situations, would you draw near to them and encourage them this morning to put their faith and trust in you. I thank you, Father, for all the good things that you have given to us throughout this period of lockdown. Thank you for each member of our church who have encouraged and helped, who have sent texts and cards and gifts, who have been able to just give a friendly word at just the right time. And Father, we pray that you would continue to work in our midst. Give us kindness and compassion with one another. Thank you, Father, that you are the God of all compassion. Father, we pray for those who are mourning. We think of those, particularly this week in Beirut, who have lost loved ones. Father, would you draw near to them, to those who have been injured and have family members injured. Oh God, would you make your presence felt with them and bring healing and help through the medical services. We pray, Father, for every charity that is working to help things in that situation right now. Lord, we realize the land of Lebanon is in difficulty economically and with COVID outbreak as well. Oh God, would you be merciful to them? And we pray for those in our own congregation who are mourning. Father, those that have lost loved ones in these last weeks, which has been particularly difficult in times where we have been unable to meet in large gatherings. Lord, would you be their help and strength at this time and make your presence felt with them. Father, forgive us when we don't have the faith that we need. Father, we can look around us and be dismayed. Help us to be strong in knowing that you are in control, that this world is only temporary. And thank you, Father, that we have an eternal heaven to look forward to. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us in all the many different aspects of life. We pray, Father, especially for Johnny, our pastor, this morning, as he takes his holiday with Jenny and Jonah, Maisie, and Jensen. Father, would you refresh him and build him up and strengthen him for the task that you have called him to in leading this part of your flock here in Hamilton Road. And we pray for the leadership of our church as they look to ways that they can open up our premises again to use them to your glory. Father, we pray that you would help us have wisdom and innovative ways of being able to introduce folks to the gospel that don't know it and to encourage one another. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to you this morning. Father, this subject of death is something that we don't often talk about, and yet it comes to each one of us. Lord, would you empower Keith as he speaks and help us to learn from your word that death is only just a transition into a new part of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to that mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. flesh was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning quiet, my feet rose stands. When death was resting, my life began.
Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins in you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you.
Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner.
Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here, and it's great to have you join us online as well. But what hasn't been so great this week is watching some of the news broadcasts or reading the news online. Over and over again, we've heard of tragedy after tragedy. In Beirut, 157 people were found dead after the explosion. The Air India plane that broken two, left 18 people dead. John Hume, who was a political figure in our land, died over last weekend and was buried earlier in the week. And the COVID statistics continue to rise. 46,000 people in the UK who have lost their lives and have had COVID, and it's about 556 here in Northern Ireland. As hard as we try to escape escape it. And as hard as we try not to talk about death in these days, it is all around us. And I know it really hits home to some of you in recent days, and it's been a really painful time for you as you have experienced the loss of a loved one. But my question today is, what does Jesus have to say to us in a world that is decaying and dying, where death is all around us? Matthew is painting a wonderful portrait of King Jesus throughout his gospel. He is showing that Jesus is a ruler over nature as he calms the sick. We're seeing that he is a ruler over disease as he heals the sick. We're seeing that Jesus is a ruler over sin as he forgives and heals the paralytic. We're seeing that Jesus is a ruler over the demons as he casts them out. What a wonderful portrait of Jesus that Matthew has been painting. But what about our great enemy of death? Has Jesus got anything to say about that? And the good news this morning is, as you sit here or as you listen at home, is that Jesus is a death defeater. And we see it here in the encounter with Jairus and raising his daughter. And we're going to see three different types of people as we look at this short passage today. We're going to see the religious, we're going to see the rejected, and we're going to see the ridiculers. And I wonder, as we listen along and tune in to what Matthew says here, and to perhaps what God is saying to you today, what camp do you fall into? The religious type, the rejected, or the ridiculer? Or I wonder, where do your friends and family fall into? Because what we're going to see is that each type of person needs Jesus. And if you're here today, and if you don't know Jesus, you need Jesus. If you're watching online, and if you don't know Jesus, you need Jesus in your life, and we're going to see why. Firstly, the religious need Jesus. Read here in verse 18, and it's on the screen behind me. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, put your hand on her and she will live." So far, Jesus has been teaching in the crowds, and he has just crossed Lake Galilee, a gate, and he's teaching them about fasting and old wineskins and new wineskins, and he's healed people along the way. And the crowds are flocking to hear and to see what this carpenter from Nazareth is going to do and say next. But the religious elite of the day continue to oppose because they don't like him. They don't like how he claims to be God and how he undermines them and shows up their hypocrisy. And today, along comes a synagogue leader. I want you to imagine you're part of the crowd following Jesus, to see the dusty streets and to feel the hustle and bustle of the crowds. You get barged backwards and forwards, nearly like going and buying toilet roll before lockdown began, and you feel the crowds coming in around you, trying to hear and to see Jesus. And suddenly you see a synagogue leader coming. And as he comes closer, you realize it's Jairus. Luke and Mark tell us that it was Jairus. But who was Jairus? Well, he would have overseen some of the running of the synagogue in those days. He would have been a respected and known and a wealthy man in the community. Probably, if you had a problem, you probably would have gone to somebody like Jairus to try to help you. And you're thinking to yourself, as you sit in the crowd or stand in the crowd, what great question is Jairus going to ask Jesus? How's he going to try to catch Jesus out? Surely Jairus can do it. But as he comes and as you see all of the other religious leaders in the background, Jairus does something extraordinary. He kneels before a carpenter from Nazareth. Shows him a sign of respect and dignity. What does he then go on to say and as he do? As those other religious leaders over there probably gobsmacked at what is happening. And I'm like, Jairus, surely not. Jairus, do you not know who you are and who he is? He should be born before you rather than you before him. But he comes and Jairus says, my daughter has just died. Put your hand on her and she will live. You can see the respect that Jairus has for Jesus here. You can see the intense stress in his voice as he's lost his daughter, the most painful thing to happen to a parent. And yet you can see the faith that he has in Jesus. Just touch her and she will live. This is incredible faith. Not quite as great as the faith of this centurion who said, just say the word and you will, and my servant will be healed. But it doesn't matter how great our faith is. What matters is what our faith or who our faith is in. Jairus had his faith here in Jesus. The centurion had his faith in Jesus. Maybe Jairus had been following Jesus for a while and seen that he had healed people and seen that, well, if he can heal people and if he can cast out demons, surely he can raise somebody from the dead. So he comes despite what his friends are going to think. He comes despite what the religious leaders will think. He comes despite what it's going to do to his reputation in that day. He comes despite the difficulties that he will face as a result of coming. Why? Because he's got nowhere else to turn. In the face of death and disaster in his life, Jairus has nowhere else to turn, so he turns to Jesus. He comes because he realizes that mere religion is not enough, but he needs Jesus. All the religious rules and the conformity to them wasn't going to bring new life to his daughter, wasn't going to help him in this tragedy that he is facing, but Jesus could. I wonder today, are you a religious person? Follow all the rules, you go to all the services, you watch all the broadcasts online, you are a well-respected person in the community, yet you don't know Jesus. You've never come out of the crowd and knelt before Jesus yourself personally and said, Lord, forgive me for my sin and the wrong things in my life and help me to live for you. Because merely going to church isn't going to cut it. Merely watching church on the TV definitely isn't going to cut it. We need Jesus in the face of death because Jesus is the one who can give new life. Maybe you're a young person here today and you've been swept up in the crowd, grown up in a Christian family and you've got Christian friends and you say all the Christian words and you do all the Christian things and you wear all the Christian bracelets and t-shirts, but you don't maybe yet know Jesus personally. Can I encourage you to come out from the crowd and to give your life to Jesus even today, even watching from home? Why? Because mere religion, following the rules, having Christian parents or grandparents isn't going to cut it. Over the last half year, the fragility of life and the reality of death has become known to all of us. Can I urge you today to recognize your need of new life? That we need to know the death defeater, Jesus Christ, for ourselves. Verse 19 tells us that Jesus got up and went with Jairus and with the disciples. This is the Jesus that we are urging you to come to, somebody who will hear your request and who will follow it, who will love you, who will show the compassion to you, who will embrace you, who will welcome you. The religious need Jesus, but also the rejected need Jesus as well. As Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, he's interrupted, as is quite often the case in the Gospels, and a woman comes out of the crowd. But as I was thinking about this and thinking about Jesus being constantly interrupted, I thought about how I react under interruptions. I often get irritated. I often think, oh, I'm so busy, I'm going to do something really important, and you think your phone call or your calling is going to But Jesus always welcomes the interruptions because he sees them as divine opportunities to display his mercy and his grace, or to share some great truth. And the interruption here in verse 20 is, just then a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years came up behind him, touched the edge of the cloak. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. Put yourself back into the hustle and bustle of the crowd. You're on your way to Jairus' house. It's probably one of the bigger houses in the area, and you're even looking forward to getting a wee look inside. But Jesus stops in the way and he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. But you can't quite see who Jesus is talking to, so you're trying to get a closer look, and you suddenly realize that it's a woman that he's talking to, and you suddenly realize it's that woman who hasn't really been part of society for the last 12 years. Mark and Luke tell us that she actually explains her situation to Jesus. She has been bleeding for 12 years. For 12 years, she has been considered unclean by those around her, unclean by those in the temple, in the synagogue. Jairus and his friends have probably said, I'm sorry, you're not welcome here. You're unclean. You have a bleed. 12 years of rejection, 12 years of not feeling the touch of another human being, much like a leper, cast out from society, rejected in the synagogue, rejected in society, possibly even rejected by her family as well. We don't know. But possibly as you come today, you feel rejected by friends, by your family, by employers, by teachers in your relationships. You possibly even feel rejected by the church. But can I encourage you that nobody is beyond the reach of Jesus, and that Jesus will not reject anybody who comes to him, as we see here in the case of the woman. And if you come to Jesus today, he'll not reject you. His heart is compassionate and kind. Matthew gives us an insight into her faith. If only I touch the hem of his garment. Jesus would have had four tassels on the edge of his cloaks to remind him to be obeying God's law. And she keeps on saying to herself, if only I can touch him, 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 I will be healed. This is incredible faith. And as she touches him, the power flows out of Jesus and stops the flowing of the blood instantly. Jesus has the power to heal. But I think what is amazing here is not just the fact that she was healed physically, but she is healed in all ways. She is going to be welcomed back into society. She is probably going to be able to give new life as well. And Jesus says to her and says these words, take heart, daughter. This is the only time in the Gospels we hear of Jesus calling somebody daughter. And Jairus has just lost his daughter. But can you think of the identity and the inheritance that this woman begins to feel after 12 years of rejection? Brought into God's family, welcomed back into society. Maybe you've been in the crowd following Jesus for weeks. Maybe you've been watching our broadcasts online just as an interested spectator unto who Jesus is and what he is doing. But can I encourage you to come out of the crowd and to kneel before Jesus, to come to him in faith. Whether you're the religious or whether you're the rejected, to come to Jesus, because we all need Jesus. Thirdly, the ridiculers need Jesus as well. Verse 23 says, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, go away, the girl is not dead but asleep. But they all laughed at him. Here in this culture, people would have been hired as professional mourners to whipping the wheel and to tear their clothes and to play flutes and other instruments as a sign of the loss. But very quickly, their mourning turns to mocking, showing how fake they really are. And say, "Ah, Jesus, you think she's just sleeping? You think you can bring her back from the dead? We've done thousands of these funerals, and not one person has been raised from the dead before. And you think you're a carpenter from Nazareth that's going to be able to do this?" People who ridicule Jesus. And possibly that's where you are today. Think this old Jesus thing, did he really live? Did he really do all these things? Did he really die on the cross? Can I encourage you to see the evidence for yourself? It's real, it's true. Jesus comes and he tells the ridiculers, "You go outside." And Jesus goes inside. He takes Peter, James, and John, and Jairus, and he touches the little girl, and instantly she is healed. Jesus breathes new life into this little girl when nobody else could. Death was not going to be the end for Jairus' daughter, and death doesn't have to be the end for us today either, because we can know the hope and the security of having eternal life in Christ, because in just a few chapters, Jesus is going to go to the cross and he's going to die the death that we should have died and rise to new life because he has conquered death for all eternity. And one day there's going to be no more news reports of tragedies of death, because there'll be no more weeping or wailing in heaven, and Jesus is going to make all things new. News of this spread throughout all of the region. The ridiculers needed Jesus because one day there would be the one being buried. And you and I today need to consider what we will do with Jesus. Our friends and our family who don't know Jesus need to decide what they're going to do as well. Because as we watch the news, it's disaster after disaster. And the ultimate statistic is that one out of one of us is going to die. But that doesn't have to be the end. It wasn't for Jairus' daughter, and it doesn't have to be for us. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, would not die, but have eternal life." I wonder, is that whosoever today going to be you? And where do you come to Jesus for new life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the compassionate and kind and the caring and the powerful heart of Jesus to embrace the bleeding woman, to embrace Jairus, and to raise his daughter to new life. Father, would you give us a hope and a confidence that one day we who trust in you will be raised to new life. Father, for anyone here who doesn't know Jesus for themselves, Father, I pray that they would see him in all of his glory today and even come out of the crowd and bow before him. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong, who holds our days within his hand. What comes apart from his command, and what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing confess. truth can calm the troubled soul. God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Unto the grave what will we sing? Christ He lives, Christ He lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him, there we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing our hope in life and death.
Well, can I thank you all for coming today and for watching online, and can I thank everyone who has taken part and who has been in front of the camera and behind our camera and sound desk as well. Let's close with these words of a benediction from 1 Timothy. And if we can ask you all to stand as we say these words together, or I'll say them, and then if we can all say amen together, if you're happy to do that. To the King of all ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Amen. If you can leave by the door that you didn't come in, and if you can leave in an orderly, socially distant way, that would be wonderful. And we'll chat to you outside.